And some of you might gonna be practicing Spanish, Korean, Chinese. But don't you think that it would be wonderful to have this auditorium all together worshiping? I think that will be a good example of what God says every nation, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen? Amen. So maybe some of you don't know me, and I'm going to just take 1 minute because I think we are here for His glory and to hear the Word of God, not to hear these sinful men. But I want to take some time to introduce my family because someone are new, and I want to introduce my family where you can identify my wife, Judith. Please, would you please? And then my little Carla, please. Sorry. And I didn't plan this. My oldest daughter is in South Carolina. She's trying. I'm saying trying because that's a long ways. She's trying to be a pediatrician. She's in Bob Jones University, and I didn't plan this, but she's here, and it's in the back. I think that every day many of us grieve over a brother. We grieve over a sister, a family member, or a friend, and we grieve because they are on the path of destruction, on one kind or another. And we are sometimes concerned about that person. We are concerned about the directions that they are heading. We are concerned about the possible destruction that they are going to face. We grieve over how unstable they are, up and down. How moody they are. How undependable they are. And sometimes we are in that situation. We are sometimes up and down. Sometimes we are moody. And probably you're going to agree with me that instability seems to distinguish our day. Instability distinguishes our day. Our culture is filled with instability, political instability, financial instability, emotional instability, moral instability, ethical instability, spiritual instability, religious instability. We see all over the place instability. That's why we see those events that happen almost every week, because they are unstable. So what's the problem? Why? Why? Why we see that instability in the world? Why we see that instability every day? And Paul is going to give us the answer in Romans chapter 1. And I want you to, if you can, open your Bible on Romans chapter 1. Because we're going to see in Romans chapter 1 the answer that God is giving us on why people are unstable, why we sometimes we are unstable, why we see instability every day. So what is the problem? Why too much instability? And we're going to meditate in this morning, and I'm going to give you the answer. What is the problem? The problem is what we do with truth. The problem is what we do with truth. Can you repeat that with me? What we do with truth. And in Romans 1, Paul is giving us the answer. And Paul is saying that the answer is the gospel. But he didn't see the gospel just as a fire escape from hell. Paul saw and is saying to us in Romans 1 that the gospel is the truth and it is a reality for us. And that's why Jesus was saying in John chapter 8, 32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So let's read Romans 1. And let's read from verse 16 to verse 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 32. And because we don't have a Spanglish Bible yet, I'm going to ask my brother Joe, probably you know Joe. He is our youth leader in the church, and he's going to help me to read Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to verse 32, and we're going to hear the answer from God.
Wait.
Oh, that's right. We're getting to the age that we need this.
I feel more distinguished this way. Oh, is that my cue?
Yes,
oh, sorry. Okay, so I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. And this good news also tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith, as the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life." Verse 18, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppresses the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Verse 21. "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas for what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols, made them look like mere humans and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to whatever shameful things their hearts desires. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies." Verse 25. "They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of all eternal praise. Amen. This is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin..." Whoa, there we go. Sorry. I love technology, but sometimes it's nasty. All right. I'll back up. "Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves a penalty they deserved." Verse 28. "Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them with their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wicked sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. Verse 31. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you that as we read and as we are going to meditate in these verses, we ask you that you speak to us and allow us to apply this to our lives to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So the problem is instability. And what we do with the truth. And with this passage, and what I like about the scriptures is that, you know, we can see also the terms applied to the scriptures, because I'm going to say this as the world terms. We're going to see the psychology of man. How man thinks. And we have two scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, but we also have this passage in Romans 1, verse 21 to 32. And I believe with all my heart that if we understand this passage, we will understand the dilemma of people around you. You will understand a great deal also about ourselves. We're going to understand our own struggles and problems. So let's go to Romans chapter 1. And let's meditate in these lessons. And first, let's meditate on verse 18. And we're going to meditate on the nature of truth. Verse 18. Paul is very clear in this verse. He's very clear and on following verses that there are some things. There are some things every man understands to be truth. That means that every man understands what it means true. And I like the way that the contemporary English version says. It says like this. Listen. For heaven, God showed how angry he is with all wicked and evil things that sinful people do, crush the truth. So what it's saying in this verse is that there is something they know, but they decided what? To suppress, to crush that knowledge. Verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because why? Because God has shown it to them. No excuses. God has shown it to all of them. Verse 20. Let's go for verse 20. For although they knew God, they knew God. That means that they knew about that. What they did? They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile. Futile? English class, please.
Futile.
Futile. Thank you. In their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It says in these passages that man has the knowledge, and clearly they understood the things that they were seeing. Because they knew God, they knew something about God, right? Verse 25, let's go for verse 25. What they did with that truth. Verse 25. What they did? Because they, what it says in there? They exchange. Yes. What they exchange? The truth. They exchange the truth about God. They knew something, but they exchanged it for something that was not true about God. Verse 28. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. They did not want and like to retain the knowledge. They wanted to push away that knowledge. And Paul is very clear that they understood the knowledge, but they decided to push it away. What is truth? What is truth? Truth is that which corresponds to reality. And I am not trying to be philosophical this morning on defining truth. But if we're going to be stable, and if we're going to help someone to become stable, they have to know and understand the truth. I'll give you an example. You're going to love this example. I knew that you were going to be here. But I'm going to give you an example. We are right now in the season of Easter, right? I'm going to ask a question. Okay? We're meditating about the truth. Remember, hey, wait. Whoa. That's fine. Go. So the truth is which correspond with reality, right? Truth is something that it is real, right? Go ahead. We're celebrating Easter. This is true. Are you going to see a rabbit walking? That is true. Does that correspond to reality? That is not. That is false. It's not real. It's fiction. Why is not true? You will never see a rabbit walking, right? But I'm going to tell you something very excited that it is true. Okay? Next slide. That is true. Does that happen? Yes. So we're celebrating in this season Easter. And I'm going to be saying about the rabbit or not rabbit because that is not the point. The point here is that I am giving you an example about the definition of truth. That truth corresponds to reality. And something excited about this week is that Jesus entered in Jerusalem and people hear about Jesus. And they heard about all those big miracles that he was doing. And they gathered all together because they knew that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And they were with palms. And they were putting those palms with Jesus. They heard the truth. Yes, Jesus was doing miracles. Yes, Jesus was doing something great. A lot of people were there. What they do or what they did with that truth Some of them, they didn't understand the truth. So I think that with this example, you can now understand what it means, truth. And this happened in the physical area, but also happens in the spiritual area. The difference of the physical areas that you can see, but the difference in the spiritual areas is that you cannot see. And I brought another example for you, which you're going to enjoy that example, and you're going to remember that example. Let's go for the video, and let's prepare the video. I'm going to make a statement to you. Hold on that one, please. I'm going to make another statement in right now. Do you believe that the glass door exists? I'm going to make it different. I'm going to make it as a fact. The glass door exists. The physical world you can see, the spiritual you cannot see. And sometimes it's unclear, like you are right now. Well, I don't know. It looks like it's in there. But we don't know. And sometimes we face circumstances that we are not sure. And the problem is what you're going to believe. Please. I'll just give you a little bit more just to think about it. I'll repeat that statement. The glass door exists. Do you believe that it exists? There you go. Yes, yes. Okay, there you go. Okay. Truth conformed to reality. Yep. Okay. You got the point. The physical world you can see. The spiritual world you cannot see. And sometimes can be very confused. I'm going to give you another example. And I'm going to quote a verse from Satan Bible. I call it that way. Okay? You fail so many times that you may as well give up. And you and I know that is not true, right? That is not true. But what we do with those statements? Well, we start meditating. Yeah, we fail so many times. Yeah. And then you start believing those statements. Yeah, I fail, and I did it again, and I fail, and I fail in class. I've been trying. And then you start acting consistently with that, and you start behaving that way. Yes, I fail, I fail, I fail, I fail. And then finally, what you do? Yeah, you give up, and you fail. So we have two options. Option one, you believe. Or number two, you believe what Satan says. And when we reject the truth, we are going and we are heading and we start unbelief. And we are believing a lie. give you another example. This is another statement. When I graduate from college, I can make good money, and I'm going to marry a loving spouse, and I will have everything that I need to be happy. And I can see in some of you, your faces like, that is not true. What is not true? Because it doesn't correspond to reality. It is a lie. It is a fantasy. Let's go a little bit deeper. I'll give you another last example about truth. We all are looking for security. We are all looking for satisfaction. And sometimes, as we're looking for security or satisfaction, we have some beliefs, like, for example, I will not give control over, and you fill the blank. In order to have satisfaction, in order to have security, I will not give control over my emotions. I will not give control or lose control over my reputation. In order to find security and satisfaction, I must never lose control over my image, over my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my wife, my husband. I will not lose control over my position. I must never lose my control over my money. And you know what? That is not true. That's what not bring you security, satisfaction. The security and satisfaction comes only through Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. Amen? And those statements that I've been sharing with you, those statements are beliefs. There are people that they believe that. And they behave according to those beliefs. So what does we do with truth? Because when we reject truth, we are rejecting God. And there is two reasons. And maybe I'm not going to be able to finish because it's 11:45 and you're hungry and you're looking for lunch. As old. But unbelief is a problem for two reasons that we are going to notice here. The first reason that it is a problem that we unbelieve or we reject truth is that we begin a process of destruction. Did you realize what it says in verse 21? When we unbelieve or we believe a lie, we start in the process of disintegration. When you start believing a lie, you're going to start having breakdowns. When you believe a lie, you're going to have breakups. You're going to collapse. Degeneration starts. Dissolution is going to happen. Unbelief is rejecting the truth about God. And that's when we start, and that's when we begin a process of our own destruction. Let's read verse 21. Verse 21 again. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became what? The word that I couldn't pronounce, right? In their what? In their thinking and in their foolish hearts were darkness. Why does the person degenerate? Why? Let's watch the video again. I know that it's going to take 2 minutes, I think. So 1 minute. Let's watch the video. Can we watch the video again, please? This video illustrates what happens when we believe a lie and we reject the truth. And the great example is this video. What is going to happen? You're going to smack into reality. Yep. Can you see the enemy? Yeah, you can walk through this, you know. We're taking care of you. Yes, go. Oh. When you believe a lie and you reject the truth of God, you're going to smack into reality. That person is going to get a bloody nose. And sometimes we can say, I cannot believe on that. I don't believe on that. And then this man says, no, I don't believe that. There is no glass door in there. So this man wake up again, stand up again, and then he tried to walk again through that door. What is going to happen? No. That cannot be true. So now this time is going to take some planning, and I'm going to back, I'm going to kind of, if I go faster, nothing is going to happen. Sometimes we are in the same situation. No, that cannot be true. This is going to work because I know that it's going to work, and I'm going to plan, and you start planning, and you start doing, and then this man tried to go through the door, and then what is going to happen? Not a bloody nose this time. He's going to have a black eye. Oops. Unless he's going to get bruises. Oh, it's getting worse. And you know what? People sometimes keep trying and trying and trying and trying over and over and over. Obviously, can you understand why we see people that they are angry? Do you understand why we see people that they are depressed? Do you see why people sometimes become hatred? Do you understand now a little bit more why we see events happening every week, awful events? When we believe a lie, that's what happens. We get discouraged. All because I believe the lie. The reality is that there is a God. The reality is that there is a heaven. The reality is that God loves you. The reality is that God has a plan for you. The reality is that God wants to give you abundant life. And this morning you are here and you've been looking for the truth. Let me tell you, God is the truth. God is the way. God is the answer. He wants to give you an abundant life. And maybe you have a lot of bruises, bloody noses. You know what? He wants to heal you. But you have to believe the truth that he died for you in the cross. And he wants to give you salvation. And maybe today is the day of salvation. Maybe today is the day that you need to open the heart and repent and say, Jesus, I've been believing a lie. But now I know the truth. And I want to experience the truth that will make me free. If you ignore what God has for you, if you ignore His plan, if you ignore what God says, sadly, I have to tell you that you will start to be disintegrated. Personal safety, personal satisfaction, personal stability rest upon accepting reality and bringing my life into conformity to it. Verse 21 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him. They reject the truth. They reject what it is real. They deny one of His glories. God is true. And if we reject truth, we don't have any assurance about anything. Once we throw away, once we put away God, that's when we start breaking down, collapsing. And we have great examples. You remember Job? Job went through very sad experience, losing everything, family, money, everything. And what made Job to be stable? He knew God. You remember David? Yeah. And you can read all the Psalms about David saying, I don't know about anything in my future. I don't know anything about the whole entire picture that God has for me, but I know something. He is my God. He is my shepherd. He is my fortress. He is my rock. Amen? And probably we don't have all the answers of life, but we can say it like David. He is my Lord. I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, but I know something. He is in heaven and Jesus Christ is interceding for me. You don't know what I am facing this morning. I am facing a severe health problem. Yes, I probably don't know, but my Lord knows you. He created you. And He says that He knows every single hair. And I know that He can do what He wants to do. And I cannot assure you that He's going to heal you, but I can assure you that He loves you, He has a plan for you, and He's waiting for you and preparing a place for you in heaven. As I told you, I'm not going to finish. I will need, Pastor, sorry. As always, you give me the opportunity. I never finish my sermons. We have to do the second reason why it's a problem. Unbelief. Let's do one verse. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. That will be the last one, and then I'm going to close. First Peter 5, and verse 8. Carla, can you read that one for me loud? Resist him, verse 9. Yes. That's good. Verse 9. Thank you. Paul is writing to a church that was greatly persecuted and they were suffering. They were having a rough time. Oh. Jews left at Jerusalem because they were believers and rough, difficult time. But how does Peter was suggesting to this church to face those circumstances with the truth. With the truth. Resistant. To resist Satan. And the only way to resist Satan is by the truth. So I'm going to close with a question this morning. Where are you putting your faith? What is the circumstances that right now are confusing for you? Because is it create confusion and it create division? That's not from God. That's from the enemy. That's from Satan. Remember that. If creates confusion and division, that's not from God. That's from Satan, because God is light. God is true. What areas are you confused this morning? Where are you putting your faith? And this is a constant battle. I'm going to make a confession. This week I met with one of my mentors. And he asked a question. What do you fear, Juan? Because I am in the process of doing significant changes in my life, in my job, in my family. And he asked me, what is your fear, Juan? And my answer was, I fear that God is gonna reject me. That is true. At that time, I honestly believe that. I was with that fear that if I'm going to change my job, if I'm going to change all these changes, I was not pleasing God. And if I don't please God, then God is going to reject me. I was thinking that way. Then my precious daughter, we had a conversation, and my precious daughter, we were back and forward with theology. She's going to a school that they have a very strong theology background. And, you know, when they go to college, you know what happened, right? She's here. Yeah. So when I share, you know, what do you think about that? And she shared back and forward. And you know what? That is a lie. God will never reject me. So it's a constant process. I was having that fear of not pleasing God because I thought that he was going to reject me. I was believing a lie. And guess what happened when Aranza and I, we were having that conversation and I realized, you know what, I am wrong. I'm believing a lie. God will never reject me. He loves me so much. He will snap me sometimes because I'm stubborn. But you know what? He loves me so much. And guess what? My heart was happy. I went the following day and gave with happiness my resignation letter saying, here I am. Knowing that God will not reject me. And guess what? The following days, God started giving me the entire vision. Sometimes requires faith and obedience. But I was believing a lie. Okay. Two more minutes, Pastor. I'm running late. Mosaico. Because as you can see, I am very passionate about the truth and about sharing the truth. God put in my heart to have a group where we can create opportunities to reach out the community. And we're going to develop a group called Mosaico Fellowship. And if you can pass, you can take one of those. It will give what this is about. Maybe in the next time that I'm going to be here, I can explain you in more detail what will be the plan. But the main goal is to reach the community, different ethnicities, backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, reach them with the truth of Jesus Christ. Because we believe that everyone needs to know the truth. Living in this unstable world, the truth is the only answer. And if we are very active sharing the truth, if we are very active meditating about the truth, I believe that we can make a change, not in this community, but also in the nation, that it is needed. And I brought something else for you, where you can share truth. God has blessed me to have a lot of people that they know me, they know my passion about sharing Christ, and they gave me a DVD video. And they are willing to continue providing this DVD video where you can share someone that you identify that person is believing a lie. And you don't have to tell them, hey, you're believing a lie, I'm going to give you the truth. You don't have to do that. But you can say, hey, you know, this might give you another option on your choices. So please, can you distribute this to and this is for free, and if you need more, God is going to bless us to have more. But this is a good opportunity also where you can share the truth. I encourage you to make a habit every day of meditating the truth, questioning if you are believing or you are acting according to a lie or according to a truth. Parents, share the truth with the children. Take some time to help them to think what is real and what is unreal. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for allowing us to have understanding about the truth. And forgive us, Lord, because sometimes we believe those lies. Forgive us because sometimes after having a bloody nose, we want to continue trying and trying and trying until we get to the point that we get upset, angry, and we react in sinful ways. Forgive us for that, Lord. But help us to be more aware to recognize when we are living, we are acting, or believing a lie. Thank you for this time, Lord. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.